It's that time of year where you let a stocky dude with a jolly disposition into your house. Now you get two stocky dudes with less than jolly dispositions coming into your house through your radio or your car or your cell phone. That's right. It's that time for
the Prop History Podcast. Hello, my name is Mike.
I'm Greg.
And this is the Prop History Podcast, where we talk about movie props and movie stuff, I think.
Stuff, yeah.
More or less. It's our Christmas episode, or the closest approximation you'll ever get from a Christmas episode.
What is today, 20th? So like five days
from Christmas? Yeah, it's like 5 days till Christmas.
For those of you who celebrate.
Yeah, for those of you who celebrate Christmas, or those of you who are at least just aware of the holiday.
Yes.
And everybody does Christmas specials. We actually have nothing special planned for this, and it will be absolutely no different from any of our other podcasts.
Now, we did talk about doing a Life Day special where we did the whole thing in Wookiee, but...
I feel like one person would listen to that for about 10 seconds and be like, all right, joke's good, joke's dead. Like, turn it off.
For Galaxy Quest, there, for one of the additional languages is the language that the...
Yeah.
For the whole movie.
That would be pretty hilarious, yeah. Actually. I'd watch that. Good old Galaxy Quest. Speaking of Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
I don't remember. Oh, you know.
That's the worst segue.
Well, I pulled the Corvette into the shop over the weekend because I wanted to remove the headlights and the radiator. So I cut the whole freaking front end of my car off.
Yeah, you went a little further than just taking the headlights out.
Yeah.
You chopped the face off your car.
I did. It took a few days to get it all off, but I will say this. So, okay, first off, I'm those of you who don't know, I'm building a replica of the car from Corvette Summer, which has a totally custom hood, custom nose, custom rear end, and I'm focusing on the nose right now. And it's funny, I posted the other day about trying to get these headlights out on the my Corvette forum that I belong to on Facebook. Mike's over there sneezing, if you're hearing that in the background.
Sorry.
That's all right. And I posted about getting the headlights out. I'm like, I'm stuck getting the headlights out. Well, turns out you have to lower the headlights and they'll just drop out after you remove the five bolts. And so I did a follow-up post where I'm like, okay, headlights are out, and then the whole nose is off. So they're like, what the hell did you do?
Yeah, you went a little further than you expected. Did you like plan on doing this, or did it really just turn into a like, oh, you know what, I'm this far, might as well keep going?
Well, so I got everything removed that I could possibly remove, like with nuts and bolts, and I had it all taped up, and I met with a buddy of mine. We did a Skype thing or FaceTime or whatever it's called, where we, you know, made sure that, you know, where I was going to cut was exactly where I need to cut. And I stood there for about an hour just staring at it going, I'm scared.
Oh, yeah, right before you make the plunge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at that point, the car could be put back together.
Yeah.
And
no serious modification done at this stage.
Right. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm tired of living afraid. And yeah. I grabbed the Sawzall and a blade and just started cutting. And
it was your hero moment.
Yeah.
It was your hero moment.
I'm tired of living my life in fear.
So, I love it. You have to face your fears, as I learned from Witcher Season 2, which I just finished. So. Oh,
I know nothing about the show other than Henry Cavill and witches.
What else do you need to know about
it? No.
That's got Henry Cavill in it. Yeah. Done.
So, how about your weekend? You've had a busy week.
Past week and some change. Well, I was at C2E2 in Chicago.
Yeah.
Having a grand old time at a Comic-Con.
Nice.
Doing some panels and hanging out with my dear friends at HTC Fabrication.
Yeah.
And meeting a ton of new people and hanging out with Jimothy Wolfgar. Who his name is James Wolfgar, but I cannot not call him Jimothy now after he left his Facebook profile open and one of the nefarious ne'er-do-wells that he works with decided to post that, hi, I'm Jimothy Wolfgar. And it's always stuck in my head ever since.
Well, it's like if him and Timothy, their boy, had a love child.
Our boy Timmy?
Yeah.
Dreamboat Harrison. But yeah, I got to hang out with them. And then as soon as I got back from C2E2, I left for Los Angeles. And I flew out to Los Angeles to begin filming my YouTube series, Props to History. It included a interview and tour and the history of Earl Hayes Press, a place that you and I have spent a lot of time and money at. And
I always feel like Shoeless Joe Jackson when I walk in there. It's like, is this heaven?
Right. And it was cool because I got to interview Senior, who was... So we both know Keith. For those who don't know, the guy that we deal with all the time, his name is Keith, and he's the current owner. Well, he's the grandson of the guy they just call Senior, and he's late 80s, early 90s. And this cat, like, once he got him going and he started talking, he was telling stories about Jack Warner, Bill Bailey, like old school Hollywood, and then like old school Earl Hayes, because he knew old school Earl Hayes, the guy that started the company in 1915. And the company began by making like the dialogue cards for silent films.
Oh,
and
wow.
Apparently they still have some of them. So, but they pulled out like all these pieces that they'd made in the past for me to film with.
That's awesome.
Like the original like psychic cards from Ghostbusters. Like the ones
they made those?
They made them. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. They made those. They found all their negatives for like the Ghostbusters magazine covers that show up in the movies.
I want the Omni with the...
I held the negative for that in my hand. And here's the... Well, I can't... I'll say it off air. I'll let you know off air. But it's something super amazing happening with Earl Hayes Press and myself. But one thing that did happen... So everybody knows the recurring newspaper. It's the newspaper that shows up in everything.
Right.
Most famously with Al Bundy, and then again later in his newer show, you see him reading the same
Modern newspaper. Family.
Modern Family. They make those and have since the 60s. And they showed me I got to film the process of how they're made. And they also make like the fake magazines that you see everywhere. And when I go back in February, I'm going to stop by there again, and they're going to take my picture. I'm going to sign a release. And they're going to put my face on one of those fake magazines. So I will, in perpetuity, become a rentable movie prop.
So one of these days...
To me, that is immortality.
So one of these days, we're going to be seeing Charlize Theron holding a magazine.
I hope so. Oh, my God. I will cry big, big baby tears when I see that. Also, I will laugh until I pee myself.
We'll start a Facebook group that tracks all of this.
Tracks all the time. It shows up in movies. Yeah absolutely. Excuse me. But after that, I went and I had dinner with the Dreadmaker Roberts, Ben Eady from Ghostbusters Afterlife.
He might be my new crush.
Yeah, Ben's awesome. I think I can honestly say that Ben and I are now very good friends.
That's awesome.
Like legit. And I had dinner with him and Paul Lee of Kim's Convenience.
Now you're just... Rubbing
I know, in. And he's cool as hell. And Frank Ippolito of Thingergy. And Frank invited me out to his shop the next day.
Oh, nice.
And we hung out at his shop and just chit-chatted and walked around. And then some folks from a major corporation came in and looked at some stuff they needed for a thing. And I'm like, should I be here? But, you sign away your life when you walk through the front door, so that's okay. But that's as much detail as you're going to get out about that.
That's fine.
But
I'm making up things in my head.
No, it's fine. You're probably right. And and then he has a lobby where he has a bunch of stuff out on display. And he did a lot of work for Stranger Things Season 2. Or Season 2 and Season 3, I think. And you remember the Russian, chemical suits?
Yeah.
He made all those.
Oh, that's awesome.
And one of them was right there. And the buckle on the stomach for it,
mm-hmm.
It's the buckle from the Rocketeer's rocket pack. Like, detail awesome. He added in there. And then... He's going to, I'll be going back in February. I'm going to be interviewing him for my series as well.
Nice.
About how he got into the business and then how Thingergy works and what Thingergy does and all that. And then I went from there to, what else? Oh, yeah. I went to Fonco Studios and I interviewed.
That's Fawn Davis's place.
Yes.
Right?
And I interviewed Fawn Davis, the legendary Fawn Davis. And it was really cool because when I reached out to him about it, he threw me for a loop because I reached out to him and asked him if he'd be involved in it. We'd met before. And he was like, can you send me your social media links? Because I don't know who the hell you are, basically. And yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And I started typing it in, and before I could even send it, it was like, oh, you're props to history. I love you. You're That's great. Funny. And it turns out he's a fan of mine, which is really weird coming from somebody I've been following for the past decade and a half.
Now, Fonz, I mean, you know, Fonz got such a long history.
Oh, my God.
Like, he used to work for ILM, mm-hmm. you know, he's...
And I got almost his entire work history in the interview too. And oh, wow. As it turns out, he started out in 1994, was it 94? 91.
Yeah.
With Liquid Television.
Wow.
And he started out as like a carpenter and that sort of thing. And but no, he's cool as hell. And then the next day I went to Global Effects and got to wear a spacesuit.
Yeah, I saw those pictures.
That's Corey Stoll's screen-used A7L suit, the hero suit from First Man.
That's awesome.
And then I stood in the LEM set that they built for Apollo 18, but then was also used in First Man. So I'm pretty much Corey Stoll's at this point.
I wondered, like, when I walked in, I'm like...
This is something different. Yeah.
Is this Mike or... Is this the guy from that one movie that I... Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is this... Yeah, Yellow Jacket from Ant-Man? Is that because that's Corey Stoll's. But he played Buzz Aldrin in First Man. So wow. No, it was really, really cool. And
what I saw, it looked like you had an amazing, amazing time.
I did, and I had dinner with Max Cervantes and Gordon Tarpley and Kevin Toft and at the first Bob's Big Boy.
Nice.
And this first time I ever got to meet Max. So I'll be going back interviewing Max.
Max is amazing.
Yeah, Max has been in the game a long time.
So I don't know if you know this, but when we went out to Mike Moore's shop, HMS, you know, and HMS did all the props for Deep Space Nine, and one of the props that they did was the Gold Press Latinum. And on the screen used Gold Press Latinum, if you look up close, it's got people's names in it. And Max is one of the names that's on the Gold Press Latinum.
Really?
So, yeah. I have a piece of it at home screen... That's screen used that's got Max's name on it.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, and then...
And of course, Max did the Starship Troopers stuff.
Yeah, Max did Starship Troopers, and Max was actually in Star Trek.
Yeah,
he was an extra in Star Trek, and they had to, like, custom fit him for a background costume.
Because he's a big, burly man.
His shoulders are broad, but he's not super tall, so that became... like an issue because the trousers were way too long, and so they had to sort that out for him, which is rare because they rarely ever do that.
Yeah,
but they did for him. So yeah,
he used to be a bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah, so. He's going back. He's actually getting back into it.
Oh, nice.
As well, so good for him. But I'll be interviewing him, and then he's kind of like reaching out for me, and it's just amazing. Like when you start telling people's stories that don't get to tell their story very often, all of a sudden everybody wants to tell their story. And for me, that's perfect because I want to tell every prop maker and special effects artist story there is. So
I was going to say, going back to like, you know, like to that dinner, like Gordon Tarpley, you know, he plays aliens and C-3PO but like, here's the thing everybody knows him for, but doesn't know that they know him for. You remember the leg lamp from Toy Story?
Yeah.
There is an R2-D2 C-3PO version of that, and Gordon's the one that invented that.
And that picture makes the rounds every Christmas, and nobody knows that that's Gordon. So, yes, I need to sit down and chat with Gordon about his background, because he does something that so few people realize, is that he's a suit actor.
Yeah.
And that's not a thing that anybody really thinks about. And the stuff he has to go through to make sure that he doesn't build too much muscle mass. Because right. Otherwise he can't fit in the suits.
Yeah. Because he is one of the premier C-3PO
mm-hmm. guys. He's a fairly slight man. And he, I mean, I have no doubt that he is in solid shape. But he's not a very big guy. And he can't be for what he does. Yeah. So, but he's cool. I stood outside the brewery and froze my ass off with him and another guy. Well, we just bullshitted after the place closed for like 2 hours. It was great.
I'd rather be freezing my ass off in L.A. than Indianapolis.
I was shocked. When I got there, raining. Next day, raining. Day after, raining. It was just, the weather was garbage the whole time I was there. And it was cold. Like, not even like light jacket weather. Like, there were a couple nights where I was like, I wouldn't be mad if I had a proper coat. And it's L.A. But it is December.
Yeah.
But also, I learned the hard way that L.A. does not really have any drainage. because whole like cross streets were just completely flooded out and washed away. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous how much water they got. But and then I also got to go to Alterian Studios, who created all the Chucky dolls for the Chucky miniseries.
Yeah, I'm totally jealous about that.
And got to hang out with my friend Kira and her dad. And
now, is she the one working on the Chucky documentary?
Yep, she's the one that's working on the Chucky documentary. And they did a bunch of stuff with the Foo Fighters recently, too. And I guess they're doing something with the new Hocus Pocus movie. I'm not sure. I'll find out when I go back interview him. In February. So I'll have that guy, and it's just the list that keeps getting longer and longer.
I need
longer.
Some Chucky stuff in my collection at some point.
I'll tell you off air.
Right.
But we might be sorted.
All right.
I'll just leave it at that.
That would be amazing.
But yeah, that was my ridiculous, incredible last week. I had a very large company reach out that might be interested in a pilot. Which I already have enough footage for a pilot now.
Nice.
So, but we'll see. I don't know. It's very much up in the air. But I posted it to TikTok. My
just don't forget about me when you get all famous.
How could I forget about you?
I don't know.
How could I forget about you?
I wouldn't, but
You're one of my best friends in the whole wide world.
How could I forget you?
Oh, I love you too, bud. Everybody can puke in their mouth at home.
we're having a little Christmas spirit moment.
Yeah, it's just having a moment. Let us
we haven't seen each other in like 2 weeks.
I know it's been
now.
Like 17 years or something.
Yeah.
And by that I mean like 2 weeks. Yeah. But it's close enough. And I posted the opening title graphics for my series.
Oh yeah, the one dude did.
And that one dude is the same one dude that created all of the opening titles for Stranger Things.
You got a couple of Stranger Things connections.
I have several Stranger Things connections now and several Netflix connections.
All right, so here's one of the things that really bothers me that Stranger Things really failed on. So in first season, the bad guy was, Matthew Modine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second season, it was Paul Reiser.
Mm-hmm.
And what they didn't do in the third season was bring in Randy Quaid, because there was a movie years ago with Matthew Modine, Paul Reiser, and Randy Quaid where they were all a bunch of divorce guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're just setting this up for like whatever that movie was, like
right.
All three of them being the bad guys. But
yeah,
I think Randy Quaid went crazy and moved to Canada or something.
Yeah, he's an interesting fellow now.
So Stranger Things people, if you're listening, like cast Randy Quaid so we can have the whole set.
All right, because we need that.
Yeah.
We need that in our lives. But yeah, whole thing's kind of exploded, gone a bit nuts. I'm not mad about it. And it's good times. And then in January, I'm going out to Atlanta to film with DPM Props and a couple other people. One special effects artist mm-hmm. who does some of the best gore work I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, cool.
So I'm hoping to be able to go there.
I should introduce you to my buddy Spat. He lives down in
I've met Spat.
Okay.
I did a panel with Spat was it Dragon Con?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Spat's amazing.
Spat's a pretty cool guy.
If you if you're looking for aliens armor, Spat's
that's where you go. Yeah. You go to Spat Cave. And I'll put that website down in the show notes because reasons. And I bought stuff from him before, so that's where my aliens helmet came from over there in the corner.
Oh, very cool. I used to have one of his aliens helmets and one of his Pulse Rifle kits.
I need to get the whole set. I need to get the whole thing. Put it on a mannequin.
He's the dude.
He's the guy. I did contact him about... you can occasionally get the custom camo thrown
in
because that is a custom camouflage pattern.
And he had a seamstress that was putting it all together.
Yep.
So I haven't talked to Spat in a while.
And she's like off and on available. So I just want to get a set. I don't even want it to fit me.
Yeah.
I want it to fit a mannequin.
Yeah.
Because I just want to, because you look around this place, it's just full of stuff. So what's one more mannequin?
Right.
You know, covered in a uniform.
I don't know if I ever told you the story. So years ago, my house got broken into.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat the cops home. And I, you know, My ex-wife and I were standing outside, and the cops are like, you know, what's going on? We're like, somebody, we interrupted them breaking in, or she did. And cops come out about 10 minutes later, and they're like, your Indiana Jones mannequin almost lost its head because we turned the corner, and it was just sitting there, and I drew my weapon on it. And then we came across four other mannequins in the house and realized that, can you give us a tour?
Yeah.
Like, can we find our cats first, and then I'll give you a tour of the house. But
well, we I had a false alarm here at the shop once. And met the cops when they got here. All the doors were locked. It was just my alarm system just decided to trip on its own. And
it'd be tripping, yo.
So they're like, you know, we need to check the interior. Like, of course. So I open the door and they walk in. You know what it looks like right in here. Most everybody knows what it looks like in here. And they're like, what do you do for a living? That's funny. It was kind of fun because there's like a Terminator in the corner and the Witch King of Angmar is staring at them as they walk through the front door and all this other crap laying all over the place. So... But yeah, it was that was an interesting thing. But we need to take a short break to tell people about something.
Yes.
The sponsor of this podcast.
Prop Store?
PropStore.com or PropStore.uk, depending on where you're at in the world. Prop Store is a prop auction house and prop selling site. They do have a buy it now section of their website. But for if you want a piece of Hollywood memorabilia of any kind, doesn't matter what it is, it's probably going to be found on Prop Store. They also do monthly or bi-monthly title auctions.
Yeah.
And then twice a year, they do their major entertainment memorabilia live auctions, which have some insane stuff in them.
I am actually super stoked about their current auction that they have coming up, or their next auction, the Lost in Space
auction. The January Lost in Space auction, yeah. Yes.
It's.
I don't know if we can talk about the things that we have already seen from that, but...
We can say it's going to be epic. If yeah. you're a Lost in Space, the new series fan, it's going to be wicked.
So check that out at propstore.com or propstore.uk. And next episode, I will actually be interviewing Mr. Dan Gaston, one of the folks there at Prop Store that I deal with all the time. He's a friend of mine. And he's also about to go out to Fonco because he owns one of the desks from Nightmare Before Christmas and oh, Fawn. Cool. Worked on Nightmare Before Christmas. Oh, he was a model cool. maker for Nightmare Before Christmas.
Didn't so. Know that.
Yeah, he's got that big snow hill right there in the front of his. Yeah. That's the poster art. That's the thing made for, or at least one of them made for the poster. But the original hill, I didn't find out about this until I was there this past week. So that original hill that like stretches out and all yeah. that stuff. The original one, because they had to make another one, is actually inside that one. So it's Hillception. Because they just had to build up over top of it.
Because it wasn't big enough?
Because it was already covered in snow. Like an effect had already been done with it. Fawn goes into detail in it in that interview, which will air starting March the 1st on youtube.com/props to history.
I have a signed mini poster signed by Chris Sarandon, mm-hmm. who did the voice of Jack Skellington.
Oh, that's cool.
And with that... same piece of art.
Yeah, that piece cool. of art was built, that prop that was built for that was built by Fawn Davis.
Very nice.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, now that we've spoken about our sponsor, because we're awful about saying it at the beginning of the show.
Right.
And we'll say it at the end because that's what we do. And it'll be in the show notes if you can't remember propstore.com or propstore.uk.
So, it's for Spat Cave and Prop Store.
Prop Store and Spat Cave. This is technically a Christmas episode, so we have to do yeah. something that's Christmas related. So I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
And then we'll both give our opinions. No okay. opinions in this genre are wrong.
Okay.
But this is just our own opinion. What, Greg, is the greatest Christmas movie of all time in your opinion?
I mean, for my money, I've got to go with Love Actually. That's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I love that movie.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. No, every year I watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, a little... I feel it in my fingers. I love that movie.
We're going to get sued now.
Yeah. So one year when I was in London, I actually tracked down, there's a scene with Rowan Atkins and Alan Rickman, and Alan Rickman's trying to buy this piece of jewelry for his lover.
Mm-hmm.
And we tracked down where that counter was in the department store. It's no longer the jewelry counter is no longer there, but we were able to track it down based on the architecture in the building.
Oh, that's cool.
So exactly where that scene was. I know, yeah. It's crazy. So, yeah. You go next, and then I'll tell you another story about a Christmas movie.
So, in my opinion,
yes,
the greatest Christmas movie of all time is Die Hard.
Well, so I've got a story about that.
Oh, here we go.
No, you tell me about Die Hard, though.
Die Hard is... a man who travels across the country mm-hmm. to see his children and gets back together with his estranged wife. Holly. With some conflict.
Holly. Her name's Holly.
Yeah, her name is Holly.
That's a Christmas word.
I know, it is a Christmas word. It's a total tie-in. But has to deal with a lot of struggles along the way. The struggles come in the form of Alan Rickman and terrorists. Mm-hmm. But it could be argued also that because John McClane is running around a tower running away from Alan Rickman, that it could be also a Harry Potter movie. So take it as you will. But to me, it's loaded with Christmas music. It's loaded with Christmas themes. And without any of those, none of it makes sense. Like the Christmas themes and all that. John is not going to fly all the way across the country to go to an office party,
right,
for Halloween.
No,
or a promotion.
Fourth of July barbecue. No,
they don't do that. Because the terrorists are relying on the building being mostly empty. And the only time that's going to happen is Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's a Christmas movie. Don't at me. Or do. I don't really care. But it's a Christmas movie. And it's the greatest Christmas movie of all time, in my opinion.
So one Christmas, a few years ago, we went to my mom's and we decided we were going to watch Christmas movies. And I insisted that we watch Die Hard. And my mom's movie was, I don't remember what it was. I want to say it was something like with Tim Allen, where he's not Santa Claus, and like, I think it was Tim Allen, like Meet the Crumps or something. I don't know. I didn't like it. But anyhow, like mom, after watching Die Hard, she was like, you know, I don't want to watch any of this gore. You know, this isn't good for the holiday spirit. I'm like, we just watched a movie with horrible, horrible human beings. Like, at least the terrorists were honest about being horrible
human beings. They were upfront about what they were. Right? There was no ambiguity there whatsoever. They were just, that's who they were. By the way, I forgot to mention at C2E2, I briefly got to meet Giancarlo Esposito.
Really? How was he?
Super nice. It was like just the briefest of meetings, but it was really cool. I was doing some photography for HTC for a meetup with the 501st, and it ended up actually Miss Innocento, who played the magistrate, they did a photo shoot with, and from the Mandalorian, but we like walked past Giancarlo and I was like, Mr. Esposito, how do you do?
That's awesome.
And he's like, hi. And he was just super nice. It was like the briefest of meetings, but that was it.
So my big passion that, you know, as you know, is tracking down shooting locations. Mm-hmm. And
he's referring to filming locations.
Yeah.
Because that's that, like in my head, I was like, what?
Although in Indianapolis or Baltimore.
Any major city filming right now.
Filming locations, but when...
You're like, book depository, here I go.
I have been there.
I know you have.
I did that on my trip to take the bike to the Alamo.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, went to Albuquerque, and we tracked down the restaurant where they filmed all of the Los Hermanos Pollo, or Los Pollo Hermanos.
Yes, Los Pollos Hermanos.
Yeah, scenes, and that was kind of cool. So I've got a couple of shots of me sitting there, you know, mocking, you know, or pretending to be Walter White.
And imagine everyone does that.
I'm sure.
I'm sure that happens so much. Probably not as much now, because Breaking Bad's really not at the top of everyone's list anymore. But
they
a while,
still have the logo on the wall inside.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Probably never going to take that down.
No. I mean, why? The only reason I bought dinner there was because of...
And that's probably why they'll never take it down.
Right.
Yeah. But what kind of restaurant is it now?
It's a Mexican restaurant.
It was a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah. But not chicken, but you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though.
Yeah, it was.
Chicken man.
Yeah. Now, did you get to end up meeting Ming-Na Wen?
No, she actually canceled.
Oh.
Which sucked because Tim and I collaborated on a little project where Tim built a couple of the armor's helmets from The Mandalorian, and who was played by Emily Swallow, and we got Emily to sign both helmets, which one's already been auctioned off to support Magic Wheelchair, and the other one's going to be auctioned off here shortly. But we were going to try and get Ming-Na Wen to sign it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'd thought about it,
should have had Giancarlo
and Miss Innocento sign it, so that, you know, they'll have like four actors from The Mandalorian possibly have signed it. But we didn't. It was so last minute that we knew about all this.
She kept posting on social media a lot that weekend on her Instagram.
But she was not there, sadly. But yeah, it was good times.
Did you get to meet your Expanse people?
I did. I got to meet Stephen Strait and Wes Chatham briefly. But I was not in the position, unfortunately, to have my helmet signed by them. But they did see it, and they did enjoy it.
Yay.
And it was pretty cool, because Wes Chatham, who plays Amos, actually asked, like, is this one from the show?
Nice.
I was like, I'll take that as a compliment. No, I built this.
It's very cool. I have, so one of my favorite pieces of my collection is a Stone of Gaul from a two-part episode of Next Gen. And
did that come from Mike?
It came from Mike. Yeah. It was a gift. And I got Robin Curtis, who played one of the main guest characters in that episode, and I brought it to just show her to her, and she's like, "Holy shit, where'd you get this?" And I'm like, "This was made for production."
I need to reach out to Mike and see if he'd want to take part in my little project.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he would, because he's got stories.
Oh my god, he's got 1,000 stories. He told us 1,000 stories while we were there.
Yeah,
The guy's great. Yeah. And like every other prop maker I've ever been in their shop. Disaster. It's great.
Yep.
It's just everything is everywhere.
And he and Max used to work together.
Yeah. So. Well, actually, Max brought him up during dinner. Oh, I was like, you should reach out to Mike Moore. Like, I've been to his shop.
Nice.
It's weird how interconnected that whole little world is.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I mentioned that I was going to go interview Fawn, everybody's like, oh, I know Fawn. And then I'm talking to people with Fawn about people. And he's like, oh, I know him. You should reach out to this guy. Like, oh, he's a friend of mine already. Do you know Gordon? Yeah.
Well, when we were at John's house, when we went out there, he casually just mentioned a prop guy. And I'm like, that's the guy that made Pee-wee Herman's bike.
Yeah.
Like, we could have met him while we were here. So, yeah.
That's another thing. Every single person that I have met this past week, without fail, I was like, you know, I got my start working for John Harrington, and they're like, John Harrington? I know John. That's funny. And it's just like, everyone knows John. That's what I learned this week.
John Harrington, center of the universe.
Pretty sure he is at this stage.
Six degrees of John Harrington.
No, it's just like, everyone knows John Harrington. Yeah. There's no 6 degrees. It's 1 degree. Everyone knows John Harrington. And John's awesome. I actually talked to him a little bit ago. We actually missed each other by a day. He was coming back from Hawaii Friday. I left Thursday, so like ships in the night. Which he's right about. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. What else are you working on right now? Are you working on anything new or cool?
Still working on R2. Everything's painted white. I just have to assemble it. Although, so you know, I told you I'm working on my Corvette summer car, and a buddy of mine who's a car guy came over to my shop, and I was showing him like some stuff, and I had the feet for the R2 laser cut out of aluminum, but I don't know how to weld, let alone aluminum. And so he and his buddy are welding up my feet, and so hoping I can get those soon, and I'll have nice pretty aluminum feet, and that'll be screen accurate. And
nice.
So I think once I get those back and get them cleaned up and get those painted, I'm going to try to get R2 put back together. And might actually even bring R2 into the house to do kind of final assembly, so I can get it out of the shop. And
are you gonna put him in the house?
Yeah,
is he gonna live in the house now?
Yeah, somewhere. I'm not sure. I'm a bachelor now. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
I know you can put him wherever you want. So. You can put him in the bathroom. Well, the bathroom's a bit small, but it'd just be R2.
Yeah,
and that'd be it.
I could put the shoulder bar on him and just put my
use him as an end table. That'd be a pretty badass end table, truth be told.
Right? I should totally do that.
You should. At least like every now and again. Just like have him sitting right next to the couch while you're watching TV. That's where you put your drinks at.
There you go. Yeah. So just really the Corvette and R2. You know, it's just, you know, I've been working on getting the house put back together.
After all that.
After all of that. And repainted some rooms and stuff. And so, but yeah, it's been nice to go out in the shop and work for a couple hours and be like, all right, I've listened to 2 Beatles albums. It's time to go inside and come back tomorrow.
I wish I could time myself in the shop that long, because I've been in the shop quite a while here since I got back, trying to get a whole bunch of stuff done before Christmas break.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be working the day before Christmas Eve until after Christmas. I'm not doing shit.
The nice thing and the bad thing is this is your job.
Yeah.
Whereas building props currently is not my job.
It's currently a hobby for you, but that may change soon.
Maybe one day.
Maybe sooner than you think.
Oh, but I'll leave it at that.
I just realized that my front window's broken.
Well, that sucks.
There's a big crack down the bottom of it.
Oh.
Well, that sucks. I have to call Bob. Anyway, I've been working on the arcs of the Covenants. and then also R2, because I have an mm-hmm. R2 I'm building, an R4 i9 that I'm building. I've actually started working on those, but I'm almost done with like my backlog.
Nice.
And once the backlog is cleared, and I'm hoping to have the backlog cleared tomorrow.
That would be beautiful.
When I come back from Christmas break, I'm going to take the week between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm going to do something for myself. I'm going to build something for myself
because that would be nice. You deserve that.
I just haven't been able to do it in so long. It's driving me insane because I haven't just been able to build a thing for me for a while. And I'm thinking I'm probably going to build a, because I love free builds. Mm-hmm. It's just my way of clearing my head. So I think I'm going to free build a spaceship filming model from my imagination.
That'd be cool.
I'm aiming for 5 feet.
Almost as tall as I am.
Yeah, like
all right. I'm a little taller.
Like a full, fully detailed, like. But I'm really aiming towards like 1970s idea of the future of real space travel,
like the Eagle from
Space 19. But I'm going to try and make it more practical in that it will have the big rotating parts on it for gravity generation and stuff like that. And I want to motorize those. So that they can be filmed that way. Because I have been ever so slowly working on my own short film.
Yeah.
Using techniques from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, you've got a great spacesuit going.
Yeah, for special effects. Yeah. And it's going to be one person, and it'll be me, obviously, and then like basically two phones filming the whole thing. You can do a lot with phones nowadays, weirdly. And this filming model and one other filming model, and that's pretty much it. And like two sets that I'll be able to build inside the shop, and that's it. And I just want to do it for fun mostly. So I want to build the filming model of the New Holland. That's what the ship is called. I already have a name for it.
Nice.
And but yeah, that's
because New Amsterdam was already taken.
And but then they changed it at the last minute, like jerks. And then but yeah, I the New Holland was a munitions ship during World War II. And I was just reading about it one day and the name stuck in my head. So I just decided to call it the New Holland.
You should incorporate a tulip someplace.
That's in the plans, but also lots of references, huge amounts of references to other legendary sci-fi movies and stuff. Like, you remember the food trays from 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
I had our mutual friend, our graphic artist friend, create graphic art, updated graphic art to make that.
Oh, nice. That would be cool.
Just to have it as just like an homage sort of thing. And, but yeah, it's slowly, slowly, slowly coming together. And I figure probably in about 2 years, I'll actually be able to film it.
Nice. I think it's funny that, you know, like when 2001 came out, you know, the scene that you're referring to is on a TWA flight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that they thought in 2001,
the TWA would still be around. Yeah. Obviously not. They're long gone.
Who knew?
Well, yeah, who knew? Yeah. But I love it. I love those old references to those old things. What are you looking forward to most in the next year, bud?
Because
I feel like next year is going to be a good year.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually pretty excited about, you know, personally, I think things are going to, some good things are going to happen. In early January on YouTube, an episode that we shot, not you and I, but me and a couple of my coworkers shot for a TV series called Make 48. Now, Make 48 is a PBS series that it's an eight-episode series where it details a maker competition. And what they do is they go all over the country and have these competitions, and the winners of those competitions go to their national championship, and they compete, and they have 48 straight hours to design, build, prototype, market, and like create essentially a Shark Tank pitch,
right,
for a project that they say this is our thing. This is what you're going to create around. And me and a couple of my coworkers, I'm a high school teacher, for those of you who don't know, and I teach design and engineering. And so we competed on the Indianapolis one that happened a few months ago. And while I can't say if we won or lost, it was a lot of fun to get to be on this episode. But the episode's going to air sometime next month. And we had to build it around healthcare.
Right.
That was the overarching thing. I don't know what they've told the world, but I can't get sued, so I'm not going to say much more. But that airs in January sometime on the Make 48 channel on YouTube, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've developed some nice relationships with those people and kind of hoping to...
See where that goes.
See where that goes. Yeah, I'm taking a break from social media right now, but I'm hoping that, you know, maybe come spring, start focusing on some social media stuff with some of the stuff that I'm making. And
yeah.
So,
well, hopefully in January, specifically January 20th, you have some time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will be at the Indianapolis Children's Museum, the greatest children's museum on the face of this earth. That is not arguable.
Yeah.
They are giving me access to their archives to film with the props in their archives. And not all of them, of course, because some I just can't film with because of IP restrictions and stuff. But I don't know all of what I'll be filming with, but hopefully I will be filming with the Hook. They have a screen-used hook from Captain Hook. And then I will be going out in February to Los Angeles to interview Tony Swatton, the guy that created them for the movie.
Did you see that Tony's doing a limited run of those?
And I'm going to be filming with him.
Nice.
I can't afford one.
Did you find out what the price was? Because I never did.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Yeah, it's not. I understand, and it's completely legitimate and absolutely well worth it because of, one, who it is, what the work is, and how much time and effort goes into that. But yeah, I wish I could. I'll put it that way. Because I would. I would 100% put that Pride of Place right in the center of my
big
shop.
Big light aimed at it.
Oh, yeah. Big lights aimed at it. Angelic music comes on when you look at it. That sort of thing. Awesome. But yeah, I'll be interviewing him. And he has the stunt. What is it? Infinity Gauntlet that he made for Josh Brolin. So
hopefully, he's done everything.
He's done so much cool stuff. And so hopefully I'll be able to film with that and just get his story and so that people know more about it. And a friend of mine who is friends with someone else we've met is reaching out to see if she's willing to sit down. Old Maggie.
She's amazing.
Oh, man. Maggie has made so much stuff in Hollywood, and nobody knows who she is except for people within the industry.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a crime. Which is what the whole basis of this is.
I think the one thing that stands out to me the most that she made was Belloc's breastplate from the scene with the Ark of the Covenant
when they open the stones. And, yeah, yeah. She had one of them like in her office there, like when we went there, and she's been around she'd been in the game since the 70s. So yeah. I think actually into the 60s maybe.
Yeah, because she did stuff for the original Star Trek series.
Yeah, she did stuff for the original Star Trek series. So yeah, at least since the 60s. So she's got 1,000 stories and, you know, I want to tell them.
I think somebody needs to.
So I really want to sit down with Maggie and have a chit-chat with
her. Yeah, I'm excited with what you're doing for your series.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be amazing.
And hopefully it gets picked up by a major streaming service so that I can... not have to pay for it out of pocket because I'm paying for all of this out of pocket because nobody sponsors me for doing this right now. So, which a lot of people are quite angry about. They're like, so many people that don't do anything nearly as important as this, telling these stories that have never been told, will get sponsorship at the drop of a hat, but not me. So it's a little galling, truth be told, to see all these idiots getting sponsorship for stupid things, and then
I just don't think that, shoot myself in the foot here a little, I don't think that the people that are doing that are making decisions understand the desire for this.
Yeah, and I also am a bit bitter about that, obviously, since I'm calling them idiots, but I'm not naming names, of course, because maybe they'll throw money at me one of these days, but still, it's just like, really? You'll sponsor that, but not what I'm doing? Like, I'm preserving history, but not, whatever. You know what? It doesn't matter, because I'm still going to do it come hell or high water, and I've gotten a lot of crowdfunding doing it, which I have there'll be a GoFundMe link in the show notes for this.
Yeah. If you're listening and you like what we're doing, toss a
coin to your Witcher. To tie it back to the beginning of the episode there, that was a really well done job on my part, I do have to say. But yeah, if you can donate anything to it, that would be lovely. And anybody that donates to it, your name goes in the credits of the show, because that's the best I can do.
There you go.
But who doesn't want to see their name in the credits of the show?
So. I mean, that's the only reason I do this.
Yeah, right. Seeing your name in the credits. Yeah. That's it. That's all you're after. Yeah. No, that's cool. Well, holy moly, bud. We have managed to bore people for 45 minutes, which is usually our cutoff time. So do you have anything you want to throw out there before we end this? Anything else you want to say?
Nah, just pay attention to Prop Store's upcoming Lost in Space auction. And if you haven't checked out the last season, and I say last, the third and last season of Lost in Space, I highly recommend that.
Are they ending it at three seasons? Okay.
Which the original series was only three seasons.
That's true, yeah, that's true.
I mean, probably because of bad ratings, but...
Most likely.
But who knows, maybe it'll get so much demand that they do a spin-off.
Yeah, it'll come back again, or a spin-off or something like that. Yeah. So, Gregory, yes. My dear friend Greg, if people wanted to find... I know you're taking a break from it, but if people wanted to find you on the social medias, where would they find you?
Yeah, you can find what I'm making on TikTok and on Instagram. It's Props with Greg.
Well, for myself, it is any social media that you can think of at Props to History, because I'm a one-trick pony. You can also go to youtube.com/props to history, which my series that I'm filming now will air March the 1st, or begin airing March the 1st on that channel. And of course, check out, what was I going to say? Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all Props to History, Facebook /Props to History.
Just Google Props to History.
Just Google Props to History. You're going to find it. And also, subscribe to this podcast and give us a good review, because reasons. And yeah. That'd be lovely. So, because it'll help our analytics and all that garbage. But, Greg, everyone out there listening, thank you for being a part of all of this. This has been the Prop History Podcast.
Bye.